Got another? All right. Hey, we're making progress. Amen. We got some. Hebrews. Let's pray before we get into the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. God, it's good to hear the laughter, God, of people that have been redeemed. It's good to see the smiles, God, on their faces. Lord, remind us this morning, God, of your goodness. God, you're so faithful, Lord. You're so powerful, God. This Word is powerful, Lord. God, we reverence it as we open to read it, God. We know, Lord, that it is a great gift, God, to be able to have your Word, God, and to be able to hear it, God, in our ears, God, and receive it with our hearts, God. We ask, Lord, that you would use it this morning to speak to us, God. Pierce our hearts, God, that you would work in us, God, if there's any that's lost, that they'd be saved. If there's any that's drifting away, God, that they would return, God. We thank you, God. Lord, many times, God, I've seen men stand, Lord, behind an old pulpit and preach, and it would pierce my heart. And God, and many times, Lord, as I've begun to drift away, it's pulled me back, God. And today it's our prayer, Lord, that you would use this word to minister to us as what we need, Lord. You know every heart, every circumstance. You know every person, their life, God. You know everything about us. We're grateful for that this morning, God, because we know you can use the word to speak in each circumstance. God, if I should fail to say the words that need to be said this morning, whisper them into the ears of those that are listening, God, today. Lord, and if I should speak anything that's not your will, God, or not your word, then shut my mouth, Lord, that I might not be able to lead any astray, God. But we pray, Lord, if we can speak the word of truth, that you'd give us great boldness, God, to be able to stand and proclaim truth, God, and, Lord, to have it go forth and do the work that you send it to do. God, we thank you this morning. We pray for each one of our hearts, God, that we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. I've tried to think of a good analogy this morning, and I guess I've got driving on the brain because I just went through getting E's license, and now A's got his learners, and we're going through this process, right? They're both doing pretty good. I'm grateful for that. But you know how it is when you get comfortable on a road that you're driving? Like when you first start driving, you pay close attention. Right? And you slow down before each curve and everything. You drive so carefully. And then as you get used to that road, you pay less attention. And you begin to just go through the habit of that. You get comfortable driving on that road because you're just used to it. So you don't take the same precautions that you used to take. And then sometimes something will happen, a big storm or a big rain will come and it'll cause that road to slide off, or a part of that road will just be gone. And it can be really dangerous, right, especially for those that are comfortable because we don't pay as close of attention. I'm thankful that most of the time that as soon as they see those things, the State Department will come and they'll put the big flashing signs up that show us that there's danger, right? They put those big orange signs, and then they put the cones around it and all those things. And there's sometimes even the big signs with the words on it, right, that say this lane's closed. I think our faith is a lot like that road. We have a tendency to get comfortable. The longer we're on the road, the more comfortable we get. Right? And so we get to be that way, and we begin to pay less and less attention to the things that God is trying to say to us, and we sometimes can get so comfortable that we'll even miss the dangers along the way. We're not paying the right level of attention. And so I want you to kind of keep that in mind as we look at Hebrews this morning. I kind of look at these verses that we're reading like the giant flashing signs and the cones that remind us that even on the way of faith, there's at times dangers that we have to watch out for. Amen? Now, I love the way the book of Hebrews starts out, and that's why I want to start in chapter 1. I love the way it starts out by reminding us that God is not silent, that God is speaking to us today. He's not grown quiet. He's not left us alone. He is speaking to us by His Son. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen? Just as an example, I began to think about how God uses the Son to speak to us in these last days. We know that we can see God speaking to us. We can hear His voice when we look at the crucifixion of the Lord. What's He saying to us when we see that? We should be able to see a few things. Number one, God's love for us is real. But God's wrath against sin is also real. Amen? His hatred of sin. So we can see that when we look at the resurrection of Christ, when we read that in the Word, what should it remind us of? It's as if God's voice is speaking to us, saying that the power of sin is broken. That death has been defeated. That we have the victory. Stacy and Brittany sung about that this morning. Amen? When we read the Scriptures and we can look in these Scriptures, we can see how to live a life that is pleases God, that's godly and righteous. And so God is using the Son to speak to us in these last days in all kinds of ways. The reality this morning is that even as we sit here this morning, God's voice is calling out to us. It's not a burning bush. It's not from a prophet. It's not from an angel. It's in a more powerful, more clear way than He spoke in times past. He's speaking to us this morning by His Son. Through this Word. It is Christ that made the world. It is Christ that upholds the world by the word of His power. It's Christ that purged our sins. It's Christ who sat down at the right hand of God. It's Christ that's won the victory. It's Christ that has all authority. It's Christ that finished the work of salvation. And it's through Him and in Him and by Him that God speaks to us today. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is this Word of God that He is using today to speak to our hearts. And I believe He is speaking. I believe He calls out this morning as we read the Scriptures that said His mercy is new every morning. His mercies are renewed day by day. To each heart God is speaking every day. Psalms chapter 50 verse 1 says, the Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until it goes down. In other words, all the time God is speaking and God is calling. To the unsaved, I believe God calls out and He says, come unto me. All you that labor, all you that are weak, that's heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen? I believe He calls out that way. That's an invitation that God is calling out to you that sat in this church this morning, lost in your sin. God invites you into His rest. He invites you to come and to lay off the burden of sin and to lay down the burdens that you carry and to come and yoke up with Him and follow Him. He'll save you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you right with Him. He'll give you peace with God. But you have to be done with the fight. Amen? You've got to be done with your rebellion against God. You need to be longing for peace this morning. And you can have it. You can have it. If you'll come, you'll receive full pardon of your sin. Forgiveness of sin. Justified in the eyes of God. Saved by grace through faith in Christ. And God is calling you to Himself this morning so that you can have all those things. I encourage you this morning to trust in Christ. to by faith believe in Him, to surrender your life to Him, to give yourself to Him, and watch. Watch what He does. He'll make you a new creation. He has made you. But to the saved this morning, that same voice that once called you into this rest still calls out to you this morning. Just like a loving shepherd calls out to his sheep. Remember when Christ said, if a man had 100 sheep and 99 of them were there, but one went out, what would he do? He would go out and get the one, wouldn't he? One little lost lamb. Here I am, right? The shepherd of our souls this morning still calls to us, even though we've been saved. He says, you've come to me. You can do all these things. But beware this morning. Be on guard. Be careful, lest you be found to drift away from the fold. That's what I have on my heart to preach this morning. This danger of drifting away. So now that you see that God is speaking this morning, now look in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Listen to what He says. He said, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. I want you to see the picture that the author of Hebrews is painting. The way that it came to me was, it's almost like a ship that's been brought into the harbor safely. And that ship comes in, but when you get out, if you've ever had a boat on the water, you know, when you get out of that boat, you can't just walk off and leave it. You've got to tie it down, don't you? If you walk off and leave it for a minute, where will it be? It'll be out in the middle of the water. Right? And so I get the picture here of a ship that came into harbor, and they took the ropes and they just loosely wrapped it around the post. And as the waves came up and came down, as the water rose and fell, as the tide pulled against the ship, the ropes, they weren't tied tight, they were just wrapped around. They began to slip, and as the ropes slipped, the ship began to drift away from the harbor of safety, and now it's on its way out into the ocean, where it'll be tossed to and fro and eventually shipwrecked. That's the picture that I see when I read those words, when He says, lest we drift away. And that's a warning to us this morning, that we need to secure our faith in Christ. If we don't grow in grace, if we don't grow in knowledge, if we don't take our faith seriously, if we don't fully surrender our lives to Christ, if we allow ourselves to become indifferent, spiritually lazy, sluggish, we'll begin to drift and we'll be in danger of shipwreck in our lives. Amen? I don't have this scripture on the screen this morning, but I was thinking about it, about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I believe it is. He said, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Amen? I think about that drift and how some will depart from the faith. Thankfully this morning, I believe that the author of Hebrews is giving us a warning. He tells us what to watch out for. Just like those orange signs on that road, like those road cones and those big bright blinking messages, right, and all those things. This book of Hebrews, these scriptures this morning are warning us of a potential danger ahead. Thankfully, God is speaking to us this morning and warning us of what could happen. And so I want to show you those warnings this morning. I don't know how many I'll get through. But the first one that I want you to see is in Hebrews chapter 5. And this is what he says in chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. This is the warning that we must not allow ourselves to become dull of hearing. He said, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He said, of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen? He's talking about spiritual immaturity. See what's happening here. The author of Hebrews was writing to them, and he was explaining about Christ. Priesthood is how he was the great high priest, and he wanted to begin to talk to them about how he was a priest of the order according to Melchizedek. It's a little deeper subject, isn't it? It's a little deeper. It's a little harder to explain. He even says that. It's a little harder to explain, but it's something that they need to understand. But he has to stop because he knows they won't understand it. And he explains why, right? We saw it in verse 11. He said he has to stop because they have become dull of hearing. What does that mean? Dull of hearing. That word dull literally means sluggish, lazy, and indifferent. It's kind of like, dull of hearing would be kind of like, If you bought a house and it was next to a railroad, when you first moved in, the trains would go by and they'd drive you nuts. Right? Yeah. You would hear it and you would think, oh my gosh, this was a terrible mistake. I can't stand this noise. Every 3 hours this train rolls by, or whatever the case may be. But if you stayed there a few weeks, maybe a month, you would notice that train less and less. You would begin to think less and less about it until eventually it wouldn't bother you at all that the train was rolling by. Now people would come to visit you, and when they heard it, guess what? They could hear the train, they'd say, how do you stand that? And you'd say, it doesn't even bother me. That's dull of hearing. That's what it means. It means to become indifferent to it. And that's exactly what he's saying here. They had become indifferent about growing, about learning the truth of God's Word, about learning and living out their faith. They had become indifferent and dull and lazy, if you will. You could say it another way that maybe resonates better. They had become satisfied with what they knew. It was good enough. Right? They were fine with it the way that it was. They didn't need any more or want any more. They were complacent. They had all the knowledge they wanted. And whether you want to see it or not, I'm describing some people this morning. We have a tendency to become dull of hearing. Just like driving on that same old road, we take less precaution. Just like hearing that railroad go down the track, we hear it less and less over time. It seems that more and more the Word of God has less and less impact when we hear it preached. Amen? Amen. And we've got to be on guard against this kind of attitude in the Christian life. And listen, the reason I can preach that this morning is because I've experienced it this morning. I've experienced this very thing. And if you don't think it can happen to you, it can. You can find yourself complacent. You can find yourself satisfied. You can find yourself indifferent towards growing as a Christian. You can say, well, I know enough, or I'm saved and praise God, that's all I care about. You can find yourself in a position where you think you've got all you need, and just like that old rope was loosely tied around that post, so your faith is loosely tied. I promise you this, if you don't have a desire to grow and to learn and to get to a place where you know Christ in a more profound way, you are in danger of drifting this morning.
Amen.
Dullness is a warning sign for you. It's an almost certain guarantee that you're going to begin or have already begun to drift. To drift away from faith, from truth, from a deeper relationship with the Lord. You'll begin to see the evidence of that drifting. And you see what he said to these believers? He said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need for someone to teach you the first principles again. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. That's real.
Yeah.
That's very real stuff. There are people that have been saved for years and years and years. And when you start to have a conversation with them about the Word of God, about spiritual things, they won't do it. They won't do it. They cannot talk to you about it. They get uncomfortable. They get annoyed. They get offended. They'll quickly shift the conversation away from spiritual things. And in the very least, they'll try to keep those things at a surface level. They don't want to go deep. They don't want to talk about deeper things. You know why? They're dull of hearing. They're indifferent. They're unlearned. They're unskillful, as he said in that scripture. If you were to invite these people to participate in a little Bible study, they'd find a way out of that. They don't really want to read. They don't really want to study. They don't really want to attend church that often. Many of them don't want to read. You know why? Because they know what the Bible says and they know it'll confront their sin. I'm telling you, that's the number one chief reason people don't read the Scripture.
Yeah.
It's not because they don't have time. Guys, we've got time.
Yeah.
I know it don't feel like it all the time. I know life gets busy and hectic, but it's not a time issue. The truth is, what keeps most people out of the Word is they don't want to see what it says. They don't want to know it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to have to change and live up to it. They don't want to be confronted with it. They don't want the conviction that comes along with studying the Word of God and seeing what it says. And then those that do study will study so hard, they'll try to find any way around what it says. They'll study it in the hopes of finding loopholes. Some folks still believe that ignorance is bliss. And they've convinced themselves that somehow God won't hold them accountable to the truth if they don't know it. But friends, you need to know this morning. God is speaking to us through the Word of His Son.
Amen.
And listen at what He says. Hebrews chapter 12. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For, listen, think about that with me. When we neglect the Word of God, are we not refusing Him who speaks? See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. These people that refuse, that don't want to read, that don't want to study, that don't want to accept, that listen, they are in a dangerous place. They don't have a great understanding of even the basic principles sometimes of truth. Let me clarify that. In Hebrews, he goes on to say, right, he begins to list out the examples of the basic principles. He calls them elementary principles. In other words, they're the things that we should learn quickly when we get saved so that we can build on them. It's like the ABCs of Christianity. Right? When you send your kid to school as a pre-K and kindergartner, what's something you know they're going to teach them? ABCs. 1 + 1 = 2. These are foundational truths. Hebrews 6, chapter 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says this. He lists out these elementary things. He said, let us leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not having to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. These are elementary things. Or the doctrine of baptism, or laying on of hands, or the resurrection of the dead, or of eternal judgment. So these are things he lists out as examples of elementary truths. Elementary truth, repentance from dead works. That's something that you should learn as a young believer, and it should stick with you. Faith towards God. That's something you should learn and cling to. The doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of dead, the eternal judgment. So all these things are the things you should learn quickly. But I'm telling you this morning, you may think I'm being mean this morning. I'm not trying to be. But the truth is, there are many, many, many Christians who have been saved for years and years who could not explain or help someone even to understand these things. If a person was to ask them about repentance and faith, they would say something like, you need to talk to the preacher. They don't need to talk to the preacher. They need to talk to you. Amen. And you need to understand repentance and faith. Amen. Right? Listen, the preacher's always happy to talk to them. But these are elementary things. If they were to come and say to you, if they were to say, well, what about eternal judgment? Many would not be able to explain how the judgment of God is going to work. If they were to say, well, what about baptism? Help me understand, why do people get baptized? Many Christians today have no idea other than to say, well, that's just what you're supposed to do. Why? You should know that. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, am I making some folks mad? I feel like it's been a long time since I made anybody real mad. Don't get mad at me this morning. I'm just preaching the truth, okay?
Amen.
These are things we need. It would be like your fourth or fifth grader coming home from school and not knowing their ABCs. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Or a sophomore not understanding basic math. Addition, subtraction. What happens here, what the author says is he said, I have to feed you milk when you should be on meat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, can I say this, and since I've already made folks mad? A lot of what's preached in churches today, Sunday after Sunday, is milk. Milk. Over and over and over again. Those same things that we read about there, there are lots of Christians who sit in churches week after week, and that's all they'll ever hear. Is those things right there. They'll never go beyond those things. Can I tell you why? Because a lot of preachers today don't study either. They can't give you meat. They don't know it. They only know the milk. And so you need a preacher that can give you meat, and you need to study on your own so that you can learn the meat and give it to other Christians. Milk is for a baby. You can't expect a baby to eat meat, right? You've got to give it a little time to grow. But once it grows a little, you have to give it some meat. Imagine if
Here's little Timmy or little Susie, 6 or 7 years old, and all I give them is a bottle of milk 6 times a day. They'll be sick, malnourished, their growth will be stunted. Amen?
Amen.
It's not enough now. Milk is good in the beginning.
Yeah.
But after that, you need meat.
Amen.
It's what's happening in all kinds of Christians' lives today. They're getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And we keep pouring milk down their throat and hoping it's enough. It's not enough.
Amen.
You need the meat of the Word of God.
Amen.
We all need it. I need it.
Yes.
And we, listen, it would be easy now to step back and say, well, thank God Brother Bill said it's the church's fault. It's also your fault.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not just blaming the preachers and pastors. I'm not just saying that, but it's also an individual's fault. Amen? You've got to study. Can I just say this? You want to know why it's hard sometimes to preach meat when you're a pastor or a preacher? It's because you know when you preach meat, somebody's getting mad. Uh-huh. Anytime you preach the meat, somebody's getting confronted. Somebody's getting convicted. Somebody's getting offended. And somebody's likely to leave. Meat churches usually stay pretty small. Amen? Because you get into the meat, eventually, all of us as believers, there's things in this Scripture, I don't care if you've been saved 40 years, there's things in this Scripture that's going to confront you.
Amen.
And you're going to have to say, I ain't living that the way I need to be living it. A big part of the problem today is that people just don't take their faith seriously anymore. Instead of seeking to learn, instead of approaching it with the mindset of, now I'm a believer, now I'm a Christian, and I'm giving my heart to the Lord, and I know part of that process, it means I need to study to show myself approved.
Yeah.
I need to get in this Word. I need to learn more about God, learn more about my faith, learn more about what God wants for me and from me and all these things. But instead, what happens is people get saved, they find a spot, they find a pew to sit in, they get comfortable, they get complacent, and they stay there and they die there. They get satisfied, they become dull of hearing, the old preacher gets up and preaches a message, and they leave and they say, well, that was good today, wasn't it? That was good. But they can't tell you what he preached on. Huh? They don't know what he preached on. You know why? They're dull of hearing. They're not listening. They're sitting through it. They're doing they're coming, and I thank God for that. But they're not hearing what God is saying. Even though his voice is speaking, it's calling out. If you're a professing Christian, you need to devour this book.
Yes, indeed.
You need to make it a part of your everyday life. Study it, read it. You say, well, I've done read the Bible. Read it again. Well, how many times? Your whole life. Your whole life. You need to learn it. In these words, you will hear the voice of God. He's speaking to you through it. But if you allow yourself to become dull of hearing, to get complacent, your growth will be stunted, your effectiveness at spreading the gospel will be diminished, you won't be able to witness to others because you'll have no depth of knowledge yourself, you won't be able to answer the questions that they ask of you, so your testimony will have very little impact, your light that's supposed to shine bright will be dim, and eventually it may even go out, and eventually you may even find that your own faith is shipwrecked as you've even become deceived yourself. That's why you need the meat of the Word of God. You need it for your own growth, for godliness and faith. Romans 10:17, he said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Bill, how do I just want to be closer to the Lord. How can I do it? By the Word of God. Bill, I want to know more about the Lord. How can I learn more about the Lord? By the Word of God. Bill, I want to have more faith. How do I get more faith? By the Word of God. It takes intentional effort on your part. Amen? It's not easy. Let me give you some advice this morning. First piece of advice I could give you is it takes intentional effort, discipline. You've got to set aside time to study and to read and to pray. You've got to set it aside. It's not easy. We live in a busy world. I know all about that. But you can do it. Huh? You can do it. You may have to turn off your television. You may have to shut off your phone. You may have to come off YouTube. But you can do it. You might have to set an alarm on your phone. You know, I take medicine every day. As sure as I'm standing here, I set an alarm on my phone. I take 2 pills a day. Probably because I'm a pastor. But I take 2 pills a day. And I set an alarm on my phone. And if I happen to turn that alarm off, and I have made that mistake before, I'll forget that medicine just like that. But as long as that alarm's on, I remember it. Amen? So set you an alarm and say, okay, it's time for me to read the Word of God whenever that time is for you. You just got to develop the habit. Amen? Second thing I would tell you is, once you discipline yourself and develop the habit, you need to surround yourself with other people who are studying and reading the Word with you. Now, that don't mean they have to be reading the same thing you're reading, but you need to talk to other people who love God and who are studying God all the time. Start a little group study together with some people. I've been encouraged recently. There's some of the ladies that are talking about reading a biblical book together and discussing it. I've kind of caught wind of that. That's a good thing. That'll make you grow. Go home and read for 5 or 10 minutes and talk with your spouse or with your kids about what you read. Share it with other people. That's good for you and it's good for them. You say, well, that's just so awkward. No, it's not. It's not awkward to walk around and say, hey, I just read this in the Scripture. What do you think that means? Hey, I just read that. Let me show you what I just read. It was so awesome. And share it with somebody. Amen? Ask them, instead of getting together, you ever notice how when people get together, even Christians anymore, it seems like the Word of God is not the primary thing anymore, it's other stuff. Well, did you see the game? Did you catch any fish? Did you get this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Instead, what if we got together and said, what are you studying right now? I was telling Brother Travis, I went to a church in San Antonio one time, and I emailed a guy, I watched this church online, and I went on business down there, and when I was down there, I emailed the guy and I said, I want to come to your church. I watch it every week online. I want to come. He came to the hotel and picked me up. I got in a van with him. He shut the door. The little locks clicked. And the first words out of his mouth was, what sin are you struggling with right now? And I thought, are you kidding me? That's where we're going to start. And as I began to talk about the sins, that I mean, that made me nervous. I don't get nervous very often. That made me nervous. And I thought, gosh, I don't even know what to say. All of them, I guess. I don't know. And I began to, you know, kind of feel the pressure of that. Well, after I told him some of the things I was struggling with, he told me some of the things he was struggling with. He was looking for a deeper conversation. He wasn't looking for shallow. He didn't say, well, tell me about this and tell me. Hey, let's talk about the Lord. I liked it. I've learned a little bit from him since then and understood a little bit better. Sometimes it's good just to say, what are you reading? You know what it does? Number one, it holds you accountable to remember what you read so you can share. Number two, it makes them accountable to say, every time I get around Bill, he asks me what I read. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I better read something. Amen? I got to read something. He's going to ask. good for you to be around people that are studying, reading. The third piece of advice I'd give you quickly is it's good to attend church. It's good to attend Bible study. It's good to attend Sunday school. Those things help you grow. Now, I'm realistic. I recognize that not every message I preach, not every Bible study that we have, not every Sunday school lesson is earth-shattering. We kind of live in this church age where it's almost like if you don't preach something fantastic, people are like, well, it was just okay. You know what I'm saying? Guys, it don't have to be some new revelation every time. You don't have to have some amazing personal experience. It's about the steady, consistent hearing of the Word of God. Imagine, let me compare it to something. Imagine you sat down at the table to eat dinner and you said to your wife or your husband or whichever one's cooking dinner, and you said, if this meal isn't something new, I'm not eating it. If I've had this before, I don't want it. You would never do that. You know why? You'd start with them. Everybody knows you got about 5 or 6 things you eat over and over. And you get sick of it and you wish you could have something else, but there just ain't nothing else. Right? It's the same thing. You can make a taco on a crescent roll. You can make a taco on a piece of hot bread. You can make a taco on a taco shell. At the end of the day, you have a taco. Right? It's the same. You can get tired of it, right? But you can't have something new all the time. But it don't matter. It's still, you've got something to eat. When you come to church and hear the Word of God, even if it's not earth-shattering or some new revelation, you got something to eat for the soul. Amen. I know there's other things, right? I mean, I know there's other things to tell you, right? I just don't want you to become dull of hearing. Yes. I don't want you to become spiritually complacent. I don't want you to let yourself become indifferent to growing in the Lord. Amen. All of us need to grow up more in the Lord.
Yeah.
All of us do. It's time that some in this church and in other churches, right, it's time that some begin to lead a small group or to begin to teach others or to begin to be a bolder witness out in the public or whatever the case may be. I know for time's sake, I won't be able to continue to tell you all of these things, but I do want to tell you one more. I laughed. I put this on here because I thought I'd take a long time with that one, and I did. Somebody sent this to me the other day. They said, church attendees, Pastor, I like your preaching, but I don't have the attention span for a long sermon. That doesn't fit my learning style. Same church person, binge watches an entire Netflix show in one day. Huh? I just don't have the attention. I think you do. I can't sit still that long. Well, I've been around you. I've seen you sit quite a while. We can do it, amen. One more point. Second thing you got to be on the lookout for to watch from this drift is you got to be careful that you don't become desensitized to sin. This is another warning that Hebrews gives us in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says, beware, brethren. See, there's the warning. Beware. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Amen? Verse 13 is the warning, right? Beware lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You got to see carefully that sin has the ability to harden the heart. Sin has the ability to harden us in a way that we no longer hear the voice of God that's speaking to us. Remember, we said that God is speaking, and He said, today, if you hear God's voice,
Right? Hebrews 3:15, today, if you will hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. I know so many people who say, I want to hear God's voice clearly. You can. You can. It's right in the words of this book. But you have to be willing to hear them and obey them. You have to be willing to study. You got to be willing to look at them. In the world that we're living in today, we are bombarded with sin on every side. The movies we watch, the music we hear, the instant access to any sort of video that we want to watch, we're bombarded with murder, with lust, with sexual sin, with adultery, fornication, stealing, cheating, lying, profanity, pornography. Right now, if your child has a cell phone, they have instant access to pornography. Anytime they want it, you say, well, no, I've got things in place. They have access. Think about that. Think about the danger that all of these things present and how it could cause young people and how it could cause adults to drift. Think about the impact that it has on their life and their future and the way they're going to view the world and the way they're going to view relationships and marriage and all these things. Think about the impact that it has on you. These are real temptations. These sins that we surround ourselves with and we try to convince ourselves that they don't bother me. I would ask you, why don't they? Why don't they bother you? Constant exposure to sin, and then combine that with very little exposure to truth, it's a loosely tied rope on a ship that's destined to go back out to sea and become shipwrecked. If you expose yourself to enough sin, eventually you're going to become hardened to that sin. I'm just telling you the truth. And listen, that conviction that you felt at some point, you did that sin, and if you're a believer, you feel conviction for sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and that conviction you felt, listen, you'll have it. And you, if you keep on in that sin and you refuse and you grieve and quench the Spirit of God and you don't listen to the Spirit of God telling you to come out of that sin, eventually your heart hardens to that. And suddenly, it doesn't matter what anybody tells you, you don't think it's bad. And the danger is, listen, in the world for lost people that can happen too. They could come and hear the gospel and they could become dull of hearing. They hear the gospel so preached so many times and they say, yeah, I get it. Christ died. Yeah, I get it. Christ rose. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, sounds good. I'll say I believe that if you know, and I'll feel good about myself. But it goes in here, but it's dull, and eventually it's like that old railroad car, right? That old train. They don't hear it as clearly anymore. It doesn't have the same impact. And before you know it, their heart's hard to their sin.
Yep.
And they don't feel any conviction about their sin at all.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing. And for lost people, in Romans chapter 1, God says eventually He gives them over to their sin.
Yes,
and that's hard preaching.
Yeah.
Eventually He'll give you over to that sin and He'll let you have it.
Yeah.
At the cost of your own soul.
Yeah.
What would a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder this morning. I really believe it's the strategy of the enemy in our lifetime is to flood us with access to sin, images of sin, overwhelm us with temptation from every side, and see how many he can cause to go shipwreck.
Amen.
And there's many Christians who are falling victim, but there's no excuse. It goes right back to what we talked about. We're refusing to hear Him who speaks. We're refusing to get in the Word. We're neglecting our Bibles. We're neglecting church services. We're neglecting to bring our children to church. Oh, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. Right? I said, don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is there may be somebody that's not here that will come across this message one day, and their unwillingness to get their children in church may cost them dearly. They're unwilling to get in church themselves may cost them dearly. There is a remedy. There is a remedy. Psalms 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen?
Amen.
Man, it's a great remedy. 119:105. He said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But the remedy's right here in the book. You got to study to show yourself approved. You got to be in this word. You got to teach it to your children. I think about, listen, if you think God has changed, you don't know God. God doesn't change. All the way back then, what he told the Israelites, he said, bind these things on your doorposts. Bind them on your heads and hands and on the frontlets of your garments and everywhere you go. Teach them to your children when they go in and when they come out. Tell them about the Word of God. Friend, you need this Word.
Amen.
It's a lamp to your feet and a light. And you may be thinking that I'm tempted. You may be tempted to think that I'm just saying you need to read it. But it's more than that. You need to live it. You need to live it. You need to walk it out. You need to trust it by faith. You need to see what it says. It says it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to follow the Lord even when it's countercultural. Even when it goes against what the world says is cool or fashionable. Even when it goes against what I think. That's where it gets hard. I've got all kinds of opinions, but they're just that. Opinions of a flawed, sinful mind. God's Word is perfect.
Amen.
It's holy. You've got to make it the authority of your life. Amen. I'm asking you this morning, have you been desensitized to sin? Have you traded the life that God has for His people for what the world is showing you and teaching you, right? Have you allowed yourself to become dull of hearing? If so, there's still hope. Get with the Lord and bring the ship back into the shore. This time, tie the rope tight. Don't just wrap it around the post. Tie it down. When you think you got it tied, tie it again. Right? And keep tying it. And make sure that ship stays safe in the harbor. And make sure your faith don't slip and begin to drift. Because here's what I promise you. A life of sin, whether you're a believer or whether you're lost, a life of sin will take its toll. It'll take its toll. Let's stand to our feet. You might bow your heads for a moment as we consider what we've heard this morning. We begin to think through the words that we've heard. You may be here this morning, and maybe as we preached a little bit, you begin to think, maybe I have become a little dull in hearing. It'd be a good time to come to the altar and say, God, sharpen my ears. Help me to hear. Maybe I've become a little desensitized to my sin. It'd be a good time to come and say, I want to be sensitive to my sin again. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost. And you say, what am I supposed to do? Repent of sin and believe the gospel. Trust in Christ this morning. If you're here and you're lost, tear out the sin. Be done with it. Cling to Christ. He is mighty to save. Mighty to save. What about it this morning? You here and you need it? Well, I feel conviction, but I'm too embarrassed to come. Don't be ashamed. We all came. We all been there. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How about it today? Dedicate your life to the Lord. Christian friend, dedicate your life to the Lord. Be dedicated. I'm glad to see an altar full. Is there anybody else that wants to come before we pray together? Room for you. You say, well, I'm young. I got a lot of life to live before I give my life to the Lord. You don't know how much life you've got left to live. You don't know what can happen in a moment. If you're not saved, get saved. Get saved. Salvation is found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Together in prayer in just a moment. While we tarry for just another moment. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. And we need you. God, our hearts sometimes, God, have a tendency to drift. Our faith has a tendency to drift. We're weak. God, sometimes that we know, God, the Scripture is true. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. We're geared sometimes, God, to turn away, God, and we know the importance of the Word. We know the importance of our faith, God, but we, like everybody else, God, we begin to look at the things of this world and we begin to get tempted and drawn away at times. But we find ourselves at the altar this morning, God, asking for you to forgive, knowing that you will, and asking for you to renew a desire in us, a desire to be close to you, God, a desire to serve you, to follow you, God, to read your word, to live your word, God, to live the truth that's exposed to us out there. God, how we need it today, God. Lord, I confess before all my brothers and sisters today many times, God, I've fallen short. Many times, God, I've not studied the way that I need to. Many times I've neglected the Word, God. Many times I've chosen the things of this world over the things, God, that you offer. I ask for you to forgive, God, and to cleanse and to strengthen, that I might rise up from this altar with a renewed strength, God, a new zeal, a desire, God, to serve and to worship, God. And I'm thankful today that I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters, God, who's in the same battle I'm in. And God, I'm thankful that we can draw strength from one another. We can help each other, God. I'm thankful. I love you, Lord. With all my heart, I worship you this morning. And I praise you. Move in our hearts, God, I pray. Don't let our hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, God. God, revive us, God. Revive our hearts, God. Give us a sensitivity to the Spirit, Lord. Help us to hear the voice, God, that calls out. God, help us to obey it and to walk in it, I pray. I pray it for me. I pray it for all those that are in this place today. God, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We sure love you today. We sure thank you. We just
ask that God would continue to bless you and help you. Before we begin to pack our stuff up and go, is there a word of testimony today before we leave? Anybody have a word of testimony?
Well, Bill, I'd like to thank Claudia and Linda. They come from their house to our house, took me back to Big Stone Gap, and then took me home. And wouldn't they be paying for nothing for the gas? On top of that, Linda made us supper. I said, you don't have this. She said, don't take away my blessing.
Yeah.
And it was a blessing for them to do what they did. And I love you to death.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank God for that. Any other word of testimony before we dismiss? Heart's clear, mind's clear. Have a great week this week. We love you. God bless you.